Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bow, and Pastor Adam Osier wrap up their discussion on Part 3, Article 10 of the Schmalkald Articles, looking at a New Testament passage and its application. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation is, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bow, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osier.
All right, we are here, and we are recording our last episode on Schmalkald Articles 3.10. Did I say Schmalkald Articles? It's
yeah.
Schmalkald Article, right?
Schmalkald Articles, you're right. The whole body
the whole
of work
thing.
Is the
yes.
Articles. We are on one article.
There you go, yeah.
And that happens to be 3.10.
That's right, yep. And yeah, go ahead.
On ordination and vocation?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I was
right.
going to say.
Also on humbugs?
Humbugs, yes.
I love that portion in this article. But
I still don't know. What's the German word for that, you know?
It's terrifying.
We never.
It's like 27 syllables long.
Yes.
And you have to cover your kids' ears when they say it.
A lot of guttural sounds.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so we are going to be doing a Bible study on Acts 13, verses 1 through 3. And I guess before we jump into that, we wanted to make sure to invite you again to sign up for our 2024 Being Lutheran Conference. It is August 10th, 2024, of course, not... I mean, it wouldn't be the 2024 conference if it were.
But that would also be awesome. Just like the second one we do is the 1987 Being Lutheran.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, it's it, weird.
For us, it'd be like the 1996 Being Lutheran conference. Yeah. That's kind of our.
We'll eventually get to those episode counts, and then it'll be really confusing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. Please sign up. We'd love to have you join us. We've put together a good conference for you. We're really looking forward to. Again, what we really want to focus on this, and I hate cliches and I hate kind of, you know, mushmouth words from pop culture, but I do believe that our listeners make up a pretty interesting and exciting community, and having some of you together in person, I think it will just make for a fun experience. Mm-hmm. We're bringing in Gretchen Ronovic. We're bringing in Flame. We got some teaching. We got some fellowship time. Hopefully some fun will be had, and also barbecue.
Yeah.
You will be able to challenge Jason in a 90s trivia battle. And if you happen to be the lucky 157th, not subscriber, that's not the right word.
Registrant.
You get a signed McDonald's receipt from Brett Bow.
I didn't know I agreed to this.
Yes, you did. And it will be personalized to said person as well.
Sure.
Just now I made that up, and I would want it. So I'm going to hold off a little bit.
Okay.
And I think we still are waiting for number 157, but I will be glad when they...
I just want to make sure it's for a biggie breakfast.
I was going to say, when am I ordering at McDonald's?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's
biggie breakfast.
We don't have the money to pay for that, so it's whatever you order.
Got it.
You have to just bring it.
One French fry.
And water. Anyway,
right, well, vocation,
we had a fun thing. I do want to talk about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is an extraordinarily rare event on behalf of the Being Lutheran podcast. We have never actually had a listen party, like actually listened to ourselves. And for reasons that we're kind of looking back at some things.
Much too complicated to go into.
Reasons we won't go into. We did. And boy, it is so uncomfortable watching us look at each other, listening to each other on the podcast. So thank you for listening.
And we feel your pain.
Yes, we do.
Right.
We'll pray for you.
Right. We're amazed that, like we say, that anybody listens to us. But we thank you for listening. And thank you that you have been blessed by our podcast. So let's dive in here. We're looking at Acts 13, 1 through 3. And I'm going to read that for us. And we can launch into our discussion here. And we're talking about ordination and vocation. This is the article 3.10 from Acts 13, 1 through 3, reading in Jesus' name. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to jump in here.
Yeah.
One of these names, just considering the information that's given.
Yeah.
I've glossed over it every single time. Menaean, the lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch. Mm-hmm. That's crazy Herod, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Like, is there a more precarious position to have than a friend of Herod the Tetrarch? Like, he just might kill you one day because it's Tuesday.
Yeah, I can imagine him talking to, like, do we have to use my exact name? I mean, because that's this Menaean, the one who was friends with the crazy guy. Yeah.
This part of the witness protection program. His name's not Menaean at all. It's like Philip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just kind of an interesting factoid for Luke to drop into the text.
That's good. And, you know, that's part of the story here. And I mean, the reason we chose this passage is to talk about just the process of them ordaining and sending missionaries here. But like you say, there's a kind of a group of people here, the church at Antioch, prophets and teachers. The people that are listed specifically here in this text. But they're all present for the start of the launch into the mission work of Paul, or right here, Saul has not been given that name, Paul, yet. But they were part of this group that have the privilege and joy of sending them off for this role as missionaries.
Yeah, it's just such a succinct, simple passage to get into what has become a very complex and important topic in church history, ordination, mm-hmm. The office of the ministry, as we've been talking about for the last couple episodes. And yet, in its succinctity,
succinctness, yes.
Brevity, yeah. Something,
yes.
There's such a deep level of understanding of exactly what's going on, which is really interesting, because when I think we try, in the broader Christian landscape, when we try to talk about the topic of ordination or even the office of the ministry, things get so muddy and things get so obscure, and we end up talking past each other because of all the baggage that comes with. It's like, oh no, we're sending them into missions work. We laid our hands on them and this is what they're going to do.
Right. Yeah. And I think, and we were kind of talking about this a little too, is, you know, for us guys, you know, we're Free Lutheran AFLC pastors, and so we have kind of what we do in our context. You know, we just recently had our annual conference, and, you know, we have this kind of, I don't know, is it like an unwritten rule type of thing, or
it's a general preference that our church body likes to ordain seminary graduates into ministry at the annual conference, which is the annual gathering of our church body. Mm-hmm. It's not exclusive. I was ordained and installed as pastor at my church, Faith in South Minneapolis, at the same service, because we were unable to make the conference that summer. My wife was pregnant with our third child, and so we did ordination and installation at that. I think that's the same for you, too.
I did the same thing. Actually, Brett, you were there.
Yeah.
Scripture, I think, at my ordination service. I was actually, interestingly enough, installed in the congregation in the morning of that Sunday morning, July 1st.
You're installed before you're
ordained.
So I'm
coming up on my 12-year anniversary. Yeah. As this airs, it will have been a couple of weeks ago. But you were there, and it was in the afternoon that I was actually ordained. And you were there, Brett, you read some scripture, as I remember. Mm-hmm. And then there was the laying on of hands, which is the tradition still within our church body.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and I guess we just say that because I'm sure, you know, listeners, you guys coming from possibly different backgrounds, or maybe another Lutheran church body, or maybe not even Lutheran, and you're listening to this, and you maybe have something in mind here. I guess here in this text, we want to really focus on the what, rather than all of the details or maybe the traditions or whatever that have kind of grown up around this, and depending on your context.
Yeah, and it's probably important to note that there isn't that much, as far as content goes, that's different than from what we talked about with Aaron and the priests last week in the consecration, right? Now, the consecration is a lot more formal, is a lot more ceremonial, and you get about 80,000 verses in those two chapters describing in great deal the priestly ephods and all of that. But Aaron and his sons and the Levites were consecrated and set apart for a specific job at a specific time, ministering to a specific people. And this is exactly what's going on with Saul, soon to be Paul, and Barnabas, is that they're set aside at a specific time in a specific place to do a specific thing for a specific group of people. It's the same concept of the call and the same concept of the office of the ministry or the role of ministry without all, and I want to be careful here, without all of the pomp and circumstance of the religious rites.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say those aren't important or those are superficial, but it goes both ways, and it's a both and, not either or here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think no matter how you go about the process, the thing that you're saying, Jason, the thing that this text is saying, the thing that we looked at last week, it's God doing the work.
Yep.
It's Him doing the calling, and it all points back to God's will, His selectivity, His decisions, and what He wants His people to be doing. Interestingly enough, in this text, it is entirely devoid of titles.
Yeah.
There are no titles in there at all. It's not like they were called to be pastors or elders, which are biblical terms, actually. I mean, it wouldn't have been wrong or sinful to use that. They didn't, though. That's not the emphasis. Didn't use the term missionary, even though that's what the work was. We could rightly call them missionaries because they're being called to go out and to evangelize. But the point is that it is there are no titles, only the directives, if you will, of God. This is what they were set apart. This is what they were called to do.
Right.
And we see that in this text. I'm looking at my Bible here, my analog Bible, as Jason likes to call it. Set apart for me, that language of set apart for me for the work which I have called them to do. And so they laid their hands on them and sent them off. They basically did what God said. God said, do this, and they did it. Just like last week when we were talking about, you know, all of the rules, you know, of how to build the tabernacle. So build it in such and such a way and such and such a time. And they did. And they go and explain that whole process. This is exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, and I think the thing, and I don't know if you said this, Adam, just in between, but just focusing on service rather than status, that there's not necessarily emphasizing a role. I know sometimes we kind of maybe put pastors and missionaries and on like a different pedestal above other Christians, but they're called to a work, and that this is why we, you know, like this article talks about vocation.
Yep.
and just that connecting those two concepts together.
And this is a good place for us to recap that it talks about vocation in the title of the article, in the Small Called articles, precisely because Luther had gathered so much evidence that the priests and bishops of the Roman Catholic Church of his day were not serving in their vocations. They were refusing to serve in their God-given vocations, and it had become a status symbol. It had become a kind of a path into elitism, to use that overused term.
A very political position in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in Luther's day that position or the appointment in these different callings and roles were a status symbol. It came with political or civil authority and power. That was the emphasis. That's what they were looking for.
And a lot of prestige as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you're thought very highly. And this is where, again, it's really hard to talk about this without couching your statements and going, because there's a lot of nuance and there's a lot of tension. We want to find that tension. We want to live there. We don't want to, you know, fall off either side of the horse. But Lutherans, I think, over the last 500 years have been very careful to say we honor and respect the office, but not the man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the confusion always happens, is why I think Lutherans, more than maybe any other denomination, have this allergic reaction to the concept of the celebrity pastor. Is we will elevate the office of the ministry because it is ordained by God and laid out in Scripture, mm-hmm, to do a specific thing for a specific reason, but we don't always succeed, but we try very hard not to elevate the individual man in the office.
Mm-hmm.
The individual man in the office is a sinner like any other sinner.
Yeah. And I'm looking this up right now as we talk, but the illustration of that in the Bible, do you know where I'm going to go with that? It was
Balaam's talking donkey. That's where I always go.
No, that's it's always a safe bet. No,
yeah.
Acts 23 in verse 5, Paul was just rebuked because he had spoken back to the high priest.
Oh, yes, good one.
And it's a great example of what's going on here, because Paul recognized in his apostolic authority that God had appointed such a man for this in this role, and in honoring the office, he knew he ought not to speak back to them, but didn't recognize who it was. So when he spoke back to this man in the way that he did, who happened to be the high priest, he was struck for doing that, and he repented functionally of it because he was recognizing this. I mean, frankly, the guy was a dirtbag. He was a scoundrel. And at the same time, Paul recognized and honored the office. And there is something about that that I think we've lost in our culture. Maybe you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think that we are very celebrity pastor focused. We've talked about that. I don't think you'll disagree with that. But I think that so often, and this bothers me, when there's a change in pastoral leadership, Jason, you've just taken a role here at the school. You are still continuing on at your congregation, but we hired another professor this year, and his church is looking for a new pastor. And in the process of that, every time I hear those stories, I worry. Because I think, oh, how many people are going to leave due to the transition because they were following such and such a name and such a person, rather than the office, which is there, and if occupied and executed well, that office of pastor is a serving gift of God. So you're instead of looking to the person, you know, that fills that role, we are to look to what that office does. And I don't care who it is. And that's why Luther said, even by the hand of a scoundrel, the sacrament administered is still the gift and working of God, because it comes from that office. The office is all about proclaiming the word, administering the sacraments for the forgiveness of sins. Doesn't matter who's there.
Yeah, and I kind of laugh in saying what I'm going to say here, but I'm not typically a fan of like vestments. But I one thing I really love about that
you them, should be.
I know. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
I'm excommunicating you right now. Sean.
There you go. But I guess the thing that, just as I've heard people explain that to me, is that they kind of view the vestments as representing the office where you take them off the man, and you get a different man in there. It's still the same office.
So yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying that exactly.
No, that's exactly how you should
absolutely.
Say it. And
mm-hmm.
you know, I have tried at my congregation for 13 years to communicate that I am expendable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a hard thing, because if you serve, especially in a long-term pastoral call, if you're there for a long time, you do develop relationships, and it becomes special, and it, you know, you love the people, and they love you, and you know, I had hoped, one part of me had hoped to be able to do the sort of thing where I could baptize the children of people I baptized,
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing. I know
mm-hmm.
pastors who have done that, and I, you know, that makes me a little bit weepy to think about that kind of consistency in the pastoral ministry.
Yeah, reminds me of The Hammer of God.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Love at, that book.
At the same time. Like, literally any other schmuck can do it, because it's the office of the ministry and it's not specific guy.
I wrote, because I like to wax eloquent about things like this, and I'm profoundly sentimental, and people make fun of me for it, including my wife.
You're basically an 80s power ballad love song.
That's right. That is exactly it.
Every rose has
its thorn. Yeah. Anyway.
What?
Sentimental. Oh, when I left my call in Pittsburgh, I left the office, like literally the physical room in the church where I kept my desk. I left that office, but in that office, and I got this idea from George Senior Bush when he transitioned into
HW
when he transitioned into
to write a note.
Wrote a note. And so I wrote this note. And I was particularly feeling sad because I did not want to leave. And I said, it's good to be reminded that what you're occupying here is an office. I will come and go. You will come and go. But the word of the Lord, you know, basically waxing eloquent on that. But that's the point, I think, that I wanted to convey. And that is so important for us. I love that you bring up the vestments because of that very image. It reminds you of who you are. You can tell me all day long about how Catholic I look when I put on my clerical collar, which I do own and occasionally wear and will, you know, at different services.
Especially Halloween parties.
And hospital visitation.
That's
you know,
pretty
gets
scary.
You anywhere. You don't even have to, like, anytime I want to go into a hospital, which is Why would anybody want to do that? Never mind. Anyway, you can get around with a clerical collar far easier than a suit. But anyway, all that to say, it does. It reminds you that this is God working. This is what this is His ministry. This is His office. You are accidental, if you will. Accidental, not meaning like God made a mistake, but accidental in the sense of
not necessary.
Inconsequential? Is that
inconsequential?
No. Well, we want to maintain that tension because you are consequential, and it is a matter of service. And in fact, I'll go back, and now I'll walk back my statement. Not just any schmuck can do the job of a pastor, because you need to be trained, mm-hmm. and you need to have a call. And that's the whole thing.
A specific call to a specific place.
At a specific time, right? Yeah. And that's what separates these traveling itinerant preachers who have a new word from the Lord from what Paul and Barnabas were doing here in Acts 13, is the Holy Spirit set them apart. Literally, that's the verb, set them apart. And it's even though it's not the sanctification word, it's a different word for set apart. It's the process of establishing something as holy, mm-hmm. as significant, as other, and doing that. And in that, Paul and, I always want to revert to Silas, but it's Paul and Barnabas here because they haven't mm-hmm. had the falling out yet. Paul and Barnabas have a special work to do, mm-hmm. and it's a significant work, and it's an important work. Now, if they had failed, God would have sent someone else, mm-hmm. because we are not able to thwart the plans of God Almighty.
And I find this interesting because you brought something up that I think ties into this well, and a good illustration of this point. Paul and Barnabas split up.
Yep.
Why? Because they had a falling out that was so severe over John Mark in his kind of waffliness, if
flakiness.
You will. You know, yeah. that they had such a disagreement. And truthfully, you look at the history and what John Mark was, you know, how he was impactful in the church later, we can say Paul was wrong probably. Mm-hmm. You know, that he was maybe but God allowed and superintend these two guys who, you know, I'm setting them apart to do this incredibly profound work. I'm gonna use them in my ministry in profound ways, and yet they are just, in a sense, two smucks who are just like you and me, who can fight over petty things, who can have disagreements that are very worldly and not necessary and inconsequential, to use that word again. And yet, God has chosen them to do what He has called them to do, and He uses them anyway. And that's a good reminder in all of these things. And they need to be trained. Yes, absolutely. They need to be faithful to the word. If they're not, then get out of the way. But if they're doing the work, God is using these people who are completely, just as sinful as the people to whom they're preaching and completely in need of the same grace. And that's why it's good for me to remember I'm wearing this clerical collar because I, too, have sin that needs to be paid for and has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Are you going to the Being Lutheran Conference in August? The Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary would like to invite you to come a few days early and attend the Summer Institute of Theology on August 5th through the 9th. Learn from faculty and guest speakers, including Dr. Harold Sinkbile, author of The Care of Souls. To register for housing, meals, or elective classes, go to flbc.edu/SIT. God bless you and have a great week.